Good morning, everybody. Look at all those smiling faces. Ignore the ones that are scowling. If you're scowling, put a smile on your face. It makes the world wonder what you've been up to. It tells your problems to go away. They're not going to bother you. Amen. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. And we invite your presence here. We just ask you, Lord, just to teach us, instruct us, touch our hearts, Lord. Lord, we just want to seek you with everything we are, Lord. Lord, open up heaven for us this morning. Open up your word for us. And may we receive everything you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, our opening scripture was Romans chapter 8, 1 through 4, and I'm actually going to be speaking from it. That doesn't always happen. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Bible is an amazing book. Anybody here agree with that? Actually, it's not just an amazing book. It's an amazing book of amazing books. And in my opinion, the most amazing book in the Bible, my favorite, is the book of Romans. Schofield, who does the Schofield Study Bibles, in his notes, he compares Romans to a grand cathedral, magnificent in its structure and majestic in its composition, with its many towering spires. But he goes on to say that the highest, the grandest spire of all, the pinnacle of it all, is Romans chapter 8. Which happens to be my favorite chapter in the Bible, so he's going to get no argument from me. And I'm sure that's quite a comfort to him. Romans chapter 8. It opens up with two types of laws. There's two types of laws. There's authoritative laws, and there's natural laws. What are natural laws? Law of gravity? The law of motion? I heard a couple other ones too that I'm going to comment on. One supposed law is that that a cat always lands on his feet. I don't know. There's been times I've kind of tested that, but they seem to. There's another law that says that if you butter a piece of bread and you drop it on the floor, it's going to land butter side down, right? Every time. So what would happen if you took that piece of buttered bread and somehow you attached it to the back of a cat? What would you have? Then take it to a high building and drop it off and see what. No, it probably shouldn't be too high a building. Two natural laws in opposition to each other. Which law is greater? Which law will win out? I think since a cat can think, it can probably adjust itself easier than the bread, but I don't know. It's called a conundrum. I actually had to look that word up to find out how to spell it. I was trying to put R's in there. A conundrum. Everybody know what that is? It's a confusing and difficult problem or question. The Apostle Paul had a similar conundrum in Romans chapter 8, where Paul talks about two laws that oppose each other. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Is he talking about the law? The Mosaic law? He usually refers to that as the letter when he talks about the Mosaic law. I don't believe he's talking about that. He's talking about two natural laws. Romans 7, 21 through 25. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Two laws. The law of sin and death. It goes not only against the Mosaic law. It goes against the laws of humanity. The law of sin and death. Sin leads to death. We're told that in Romans. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Death. Back a few years ago, two people named Adam and Eve, I guess it's been a few years, time flies when you're having fun, they broke God's law, his only law. And God had said that if you eat the fruit off that tree, it's going to bring death to you. Did they die right away? Their spirit died right away. The day that you eat of it, you shall surely die, God said. So what happened? A day to the Lord is what? 1,000 years. Adam lived to be 930. Nobody has ever lived more than Methuselah, which was 965. So nobody's reached that 1,000-year group, have they? So the day that we sin is the day we die. Sin leads to death. But sin and death are both a part of the same process. Sin leads to separation with God, which is spiritual death. It leads to the death of joy and peace. It leads to the death of relationships. That made me think of Jonah. You know, up until at the beginning, he had a pretty good relationship going with his shipmates, but that didn't work out too well. And it didn't work out too well for Adam and Eve either, did it? Mankind. Men and women are inclined to obey the laws of sin and death. That's part of our nature. That's part of our old nature. But they think that doing so gives them freedom. I'm free to do whatever I want. Back in the 60s, they used to say, if it feels good, do it. That doesn't always work out too well. But it doesn't lead to freedom. It leads to bondage. Think about it. By not following God's laws, they end up following the law of sin and death. They end up in bondage. I heard a story years ago about how they were trying to trap monkeys in the jungle. And they had this log and they hollowed it out and they cut holes in it just big enough to put a fist through. And then they put something in there that would attract the monkey. And the monkey would come along and he'd reach his hand in, grab hold of it, and guess what? He can't get his hand out. And he'd try to pull and pull hard, but he can't get his hand out. So while he's struggling with that, they would restrain him with chains or shackles or something, I don't know, ropes. And then someone would come along and hit the back of his hand with a stick, and he'd go like that and pull it out, then he felt obviously very, very stupid. Well, why didn't I think of that? But he didn't. We're the same way. We don't want to let go of that. We don't know that if we let go of something, it's easier for us to pull our hand out, isn't it? That's sin. That's sin. You know, I used to drink a little bit. A whole lot, a little bit. And for the most part, I learned to drink when I was in the Air Force. I think that's what I learned the best when I was in the Air Force. Some people have been there. They make it so easy. You can drink when you're 18. I don't know if you still can or not. I don't think you should, but it's kind of hard to separate that. But I became an alcoholic pretty fast, I think, and I remained an alcoholic for many, many years, probably 38 years. And at the beginning, I was a happy drunk. I was a lot of fun. At least I thought I was. I was having a lot of fun. I may have been annoying everybody around me, but I thought I was having fun. But something happened. You know, when the devil was sure he had me, he took the happiness away from that. I became an angry drunk. It didn't matter now because I'm stuck. Thankfully, the Lord delivered me from that. You know, Hebrews 11:25 talks about the passing pleasures of sin or the pleasures that last a season. He'll give you just enough to get you interested, just enough to be doing it. And then it's too late. Verse 2 talks about life in Christ Jesus. Verse 1 talks about those that are in Christ Jesus. What's the most important word in those sentences? In. Someone's heard me say that before. Usually I say it about Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's where we position ourselves. It's where we choose to be. It's where we believe we are by faith. Anybody here in Christ Jesus this morning? Jim, you need to lift your hand up higher. You lifted your hand up, but praise God. Let's hear it for Jim. He made a decision. He called me and talked to me about that. You know, you'd think I'd be talking just to you. But you know what? There's other people in here that think I'm talking to them, too. Funny how that works out, isn't it? I'm talking to myself, too. Life in Christ Jesus. As I said, it's where we position ourselves. It's where we seek to be. Where we believe we are by faith. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith has a lot to do with everything, doesn't it? Bible tells us we should be perfect. Is that going to happen? I'm not there yet. You may have noticed. That's the goal. That's the goal that we set for ourselves. That's what we strive for. We strive for, and we won't accept or settle for anything less. I saw something on Facebook this morning that said the difference between a child of God and a child of the world. A child of God grieves over his sins. A child of the world doesn't. Yes. We all sin. Maybe we get better at it. Actually, we do. By faith, we do. But it's still there. We won't attain perfection in this world. Paul didn't. Did Paul claim to be perfect? Philippians 3:12-14. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Apprehended. He's saying, I haven't apprehended yet that for which I was apprehended. Strong's 2638 is the word, the definition for apprehended. It means to take eagerly, to seize, to take hold of, to possess. Anybody here there yet? Not yet, but we will be. He that's begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Which law is greater? The verse tells us, doesn't it? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He brought me up out of that. He brought me away from that. He gave me a victory over it, which the only thing that gets in the way of that is me, right? Can God do this? Can God change us? His word says he can. There was a man in the Bible you may have heard of. His name was Abraham. He was a friend of God's. The friend of God. The only person in the Bible that it says the friend of God. Although Jesus said, you're no longer my servants, you're my friends. But Abraham's name originally was Abram. Abram means father of a multitude. And God came to him one day and said, your name is no longer going to be Abram. It's going to be Abraham, father of many nations. So you just picture, you see someone asking Abraham what his name was. Hey, old man, what's your name? My name is Father of Many Nations. Really? How many? You must have a lot of children. How many you got? Well, none yet. I think that's called chutzpah. Actually, it's called faith. It's called believing in God, believing what God said. If God says we're going to be perfected a little bit at a time until the end and then completely perfected, then that's what is going to happen. Romans 4:17-18 talks about Abraham. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, I'm going to say that again. He quickens the dead, brings the dead back to life, and he calls those things which be not as though they were. How did things appear? That's not how they are. It goes on to say, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. He believed God. He believed God so much that he was even willing to obey. Well, you have to obey God. It's not necessarily, it doesn't mean you're willing, but he obeyed God when God said, offer your son as a sacrifice, your only son, whom you love. He did it believing that God could raise him back up from the dead, because there's a promise attached to that boy. There's a promise attached to us, too. Jim, there's a promise attached to you. Everybody else, I saw a hand up over there. Everybody else can say the same thing. Hope you don't think I'm picking on Jim. I'm just so thrilled by the amazing way God does things. Abraham believed God for something he couldn't see. So also is Paul believing God for something he can't see. Abraham didn't stagger in unbelief. Neither did Paul. Neither should we. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're not who you used to be. You're not what you used to be. He may still have you on that potter's wheel. You know, and you can feel that every once in a while him tugging on that clay and shaping things. But that's okay, isn't it? Because he knows what he's doing. He's building something beautiful. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. If we can think it, he can do it. But that goes beyond that. If we can, even what we can't think, what we can't imagine, he's able to do. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The power that works in us. What power is that? You raise your hand, Mike. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Ephesians 1:19 and 20. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, or toward us, who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. That took a lot of power. The power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I thought you were going to say, Mike. Which, what you said, obviously is true. But it's also by the power of the Holy Spirit. Actually, they all were involved in it. So what power is this that works in us? It's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. What more do we need? Faith? Lord, increase our faith. We can ask that. You know, it's not just a good idea. It's the law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Lord, you never cease to amaze me. You never cease to amaze me. Lord, continue your work in each one of us. We give you our permission. You probably don't need it, but we're willing to go along with what you have planned for us. Continue your work, Lord. May your word be fully engrafted in our being, Lord, in our hearts, in our minds. thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I pray that you'd go with each one of us today, that you'd keep us safe, that you would keep us focused on you, that you would keep us close to you, that you would keep us in you, and help us, Lord, to be strong, to do our part to remain in you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming.